1 Samuel chapter 18, we're going to read a couple of verses here and turn in our Bibles over to another text, and we'll get into it. This will be actually be our text for tonight, though, here in 1 Samuel chapter 18. I don't really have a title for the lesson tonight, but you'll see where we're going here in just a few minutes. Let's go ahead and read 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Notice two times in these four verses, the Bible says that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And we know the friendship between Jonathan and David was great. But now skip over to 2 Samuel chapter chapter 1. Hold your place here. But 2 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll look here at verse 26. In this context here, David is basically lamenting the fact that Jonathan has died. And if you know your Bible or know the story, there was a battle, and King Saul fell on his spear. He was wounded, and he wasn't going to live. And there was an Amalekite who came along, and he told him to end his life, basically. And the Amalekite did that, and he came back and told David what he had done. And David was sorrowful, and he said to this Amalekite, "How come you weren't afraid to touch the Lord's anointed? Why did you put forth your hand against the Lord's anointed?" And he had him killed. But then David sorrows concerning his friend Jonathan, and we read in verse 26, "I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished?" Again, David mentions the love that Jonathan had for him. Now turn with me over in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. This is a great passage of Scripture in 1 John chapter 4. Concerning our relationship one with another and how it ought to be. In 1 John 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Love for the brethren is a mark of genuine salvation. And those who do not have love for the brethren are demonstrating the fact that they do not know God." And our relationship one with another is to be one of love, one of unity. And we see a demonstration of the kind of love that we ought to have one for another found in the relationship of David and Jonathan. How David said, he said, "I'm distressed over you. Your love for me was wonderful, even surpassing the love of women." We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But back in 1 Samuel chapter 1, David and Jonathan made a covenant because Jonathan loved him as his own soul. He loved him just like it was his own self. And that is a demonstration of the kind of love we ought to have one for another in the house of God, members of a New Testament church. And it seems to be a reflection even of the love that God has shed abroad in our hearts, and how our love for the Lord even ought to be. And so I want to make a couple of applications here tonight regarding our relationship to the Lord, even regarding our relationship one to another. But let me ask you this question. Do you love God? Do you really love God with all of your heart? Do you know what it means to love God? Let's pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd teach us truth here tonight, and maybe not things that are new, but reminders. And Father, would the Spirit of God even bring to mind areas of our life that maybe would show a lack of love for the Lord. And Father, the heart that truly loves you is going to want to know areas of deficiencies. A heart that truly loves you is going to seek to remedy those things that would be dishonoring to you or displeasing to you. And Father, the heart that truly loves you is going to want to be right with you always. And Father, I pray that you just speak to us tonight and encourage us in our love for the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Go back with me to our text, 1 Samuel 18. I'm going to notice some things about that relationship between Jonathan and David that are reflections or demonstrations of really what our love for the Lord ought to be like as well. The first thing we see is in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." The first thing that we note is that the love that they had one for another was very real. The love that they had for one another wasn't a shallow thing. It wasn't something that was fake. It wasn't, you know, just a business acquaintance and a business connection. And it wasn't even, a casual acquaintance. We all have those kinds of people, right? That we know, that we say, yeah, I really like that person, but they're nothing more than a casual acquaintance. Oh, yeah, I know so-and-so. Or business connections and so on. We wouldn't necessarily call them, you know, our bosom friend, if you will, or say that we love them dearly, or even certainly not love them as our own soul. That's not the relationship that Jonathan and David had. Their love was real. It meant, when the Bible says that he loved him as his own soul, it really meant that all of David's interests were Jonathan's interests. It meant that everything about him, and all that he was, was compelling to him. I think love in its truest form is really that. I mean, something, love that is shallow, I don't know that you could really call love. It might be an affection, but can you really call it love? Because of the characteristics of what love is. And let me say this, when it comes to loving the Lord, how can we say that we love Christ, and how can we say that we love the Lord if the Lord's interests are not ours? Are you with me? If we're too busy with our own interests and the Lord's interests, the things that He's concerned about, the things that He is interested in, those things don't concern us, how can we really say that we love the Lord? When the things of the Lord and His interests and His business doesn't really appeal as powerfully to us as our own, how can we say we love Him? I mean, some people, you know, it's their music, it's their sports, it's their entertainments, it's their jobs, it's their, you know, their adventures and their pursuits of possessions and whatever else. Those are the things that are all consuming in their life. Those are the things that they think about. Those are the things that consume their time and consume their thoughts. And the interests of Christ, like the souls of men, how can we say we love Christ? Service to the Lord, not such a big deal. Oh, I don't really have time for that, because I'm so busy with X. How can we say we love Christ? You know what Paul said in Philippians 1:21? He said, "For me to live is Christ." What does that mean? It means that it's all-encompassing. It means that there was no life outside of Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ. It's all Him, all the time, in every way. There is no me. There is no life for Him outside of Christ. Is there really life for you and for me outside of Christ and outside of His interests? No. If you're a child of God, there really isn't life anywhere outside of Christ. There's a lot of Christian people who try to make life for themselves, and what do they end up? Miserable, not content, never fulfilled, without the joy of the Lord. And yet there are those who give their life and service to Christ who are full of joy, who are full of the blessing of God. They have the privilege of the power of God at work in their life. Have you ever known people like that? You watch them and you wonder, why in the world do they seem to experience miracles and the power of God in their life and God doing awesome things for them and through them and using them in people's lives? Why is that? Maybe because their love for Christ is really real. It's not a business acquaintance or a business connection, but it's everything. It's all the interests. It's everything about them is Christ. That's the kind of love that David and Jonathan had. The Bible says here that he loved him as his own soul. His interests, Jonathan's interests. Things he was concerned for, Jonathan was concerned for. It's like they were the same. Look over with me in 2 Samuel 1. And we'll see the second point that I want to make tonight concerning their relationship and even how it reflects in our relationship with the Lord. And remember, we read this verse here in verse 26. David said, "I'm distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." Their love was a surpassing kind of love. Not only was it real, but it was a surpassing kind of love. And again, David is lamenting his friend's death here. And basically what he's doing is describing the strength and the bond of their brotherly love. He says, it was wonderful for me, or to me, surpassing the love of women. And you know what? There's nothing that is stronger than spousal love, except for maybe a mother's love for her children, possibly. And what he's talking about here is, and there are those, just so you're aware, there are those who try to turn passages like this into some sick, perverted, you know, relationship between David and Jonathan. That's not what he's talking about here. And when he says, your love for me was wonderful, even surpassing the love of women, he's talking about a wife's love for her husband. That's what he's talking about here. And it seems as though, you know, a woman's love for her husband, is fiery and it's passionate and it's strong. And David is simply describing how deep the bond and the brotherly love between David and Jonathan was. It's not some sick, perverted thing as some try to make it out to be. But the point that we're making here, it's a surpassing kind of love. Like I said, there's nothing stronger than a spousal love, except for maybe a mother's love for her children. That's debatable. Anything beyond that, though, is supernatural kind of love. And let me make the application. When it comes to our love for each other, our love for Christ, our love for Christ ought to excel all earthly loves. There ought not to be anything that we love more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a good checkup, friend. We can talk all we want. Oh, I love God, I love Jesus. But the way that we live and the thing that consumes our life and the thing that is all-encompassing and all-consuming, listen, that is the thing that we love the most. not the words that we use. Our primary purpose here on this earth is to bring glory to God. And we give ourselves, we give the most of ourselves to the things that we love the most in this life. And if Christ is supreme, and if we love Him supremely, it's going to show and it's going to reflect in how I live and how I exalt Him and how I desire to serve Him and to please Him. The thing that we love the most controls the affections of our heart. Look in Matthew chapter 22 with me. Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Here Jesus is demonstrating or describing the kind of love we're supposed to have for the Lord with all of our heart, and with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. What does that mean? It's all-consuming. It's all-encompassing. There is nothing greater. Our love for Christ ought to be a surpassing kind of love. There ought to be no earthly thing. But you know, sometimes it's reflected. You know, the simplest things, the things that God is interested in, like for example, church attendance, being in the house of God to be fed the Word of God. Well, you know, I'm here. But the excitement of coming to God's house to hear the Word of God preached, the excitement of coming to God's house to fellowship one with another and to praise the Lord, it's just like ho-hum. These are the things that God is interested in. He's interested in our praise and our worship and our service and our love. He's interested in that. Are you interested in that? The things of God seem to start to take a back seat, and they start to become less and less attractive the more that we give heed to, or the more that we pay attention to self, and the more that we pay attention to the things of this world, temporal things. The things of God start to get pushed to that back burner. Well, it has a place at the table, but it's not primary. David and Jonathan, their love was surpassing. David said even more than the love of women. It was real. It was surpassing. But we also see, go back to 1 Samuel 18, the third thing, that their love was inseparable. Verse 3. It was inseparable. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Because, why? Why did they make this covenant? Because he loved him as his own soul. He made a covenant because he loved him. Listen, the true love will always constrain to a closer bond and a closer union. Real true love will desire a closer, stronger bond and a closer union. Like in a marriage, for example. Between a husband and a wife. You know, things are not always roses in a marriage relationship. I know that's news to all of you because your marriages are perfect, right? They're not always roses. There's going to be some difficult moments. But real love for your spouse, when you really love them, you're going to fight. And you're going to fight through those hard things. And you're going to seek to make the bond between you stronger because of the hard things. Well, our love for Christ ought to be inseparable. Our love for Christ, if there's real love for Christ, there's going to be a desire to get closer and have a stronger bond with the Lord. All the time. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul said this concerning the love of Christ, and he said, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead." Have you ever thought about that verse? The love of Christ constraineth us. Constraineth us to do what? Well, it's shown in the very next verse. Look at verse 15. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." What is Paul saying here? He's saying the love of Christ constrains us to do what? It constrains us to yield our lives to him. It constrains us to not live unto ourselves, but live unto him if there's true love for the Lord. You see that? That word, constrain, the love of Christ constraineth. That word is a Greek word that means to arrest. It means to hold. It means to preoccupy or compel. In other words, what he's saying is, the love of Christ compels me. I am preoccupied. It's the thing that consumes me to not live unto myself, but live unto Christ. To yield to him my very all, into his hands. The love for Christ constrains us not to live for ourselves if we really love him. You say you love the Lord? Are you constrained in your soul to draw closer to him and be more yielded to him daily? Is there something that compels you inside? Is there a burning desire inside to please God, to love him, to be more obedient to him? And when you fail, you hate it, you don't like it, and you've got to go to him and say, "I'm sorry, Lord, you got to help me. I want to draw closer to you. I feel like I can't sometimes, but I want to." Is there something constraining inside of you to love God and to draw closer to him? You know what I'm talking about? I hope so. Does that thought of love for Christ and loving him more supremely, does that drive you in your life? Or is that something you don't really think about? I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. I hope not. Are you pursuing after Christ? You know, when we're pursuing after Christ because we love him and desiring to be closer to him, you know what? It's going to keep us from sin. Here's another thing it's going to do. It's going to keep us from wandering off course in our thinking. It's going to keep our mind and our thinking straight and right when we're pursuing after Christ. David and Jonathan's friendship and bond was inseparable. They made a covenant together because he loved him as his own soul. The last thing that we see is in verse 4, back in our text there, about this relationship and their love. We see that love was sacrificing. It was real. It wasn't fake. It wasn't casual. It was surpassing. There wasn't anything greater. It was inseparable. And we see that it was sacrificing. In verse 4, "And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." You might think, well, why is that significant? Well, you need to think about the fact that Jonathan was a prince. He was an heir. Saul's son. What was David? He was a shepherd. He was a nobody. He was nothing. And when the Bible says here that Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, it's talking about the long outer garment that they would wear. And it was in that culture, you know, receiving clothing like that, it was symbolic of something. And he stripped him of the long outer coat, the robe that he would wear. And the Bible says that here, look what else he did, and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. He's talking about his military dress that he's wearing, even to the girdle that holds all that together, even the sword and the bow. All of those things were very personal things that Jonathan was giving to David. That gesture from Jonathan to David was saying, listen, we're one. We're one in the same. What's mine is yours. We're the same. And in that culture, it was a great honor for Jonathan, a prince and an heir, and David as a shepherd, for Jonathan to be giving these things that were very personal to him. It was a bestowment of dignity and a bestowment of honor unto David. That's a big deal. And I said their love was sacrificing. Jonathan was bestowing honor and dignity on David as if they were one. And here's the application. This should be our heart attitude toward the Lord as well. You know, all I have, all I am, is yours, God. All my resources, my possessions, my life, I'll sacrifice it for you. You want something that I have? It's yours. You want something gone out of my life? It's yours. And it's a great honor for me to be able to give it to you. That shouldn't be too much to ask for the one who gave us life. Amen? And really, all that we have came from him anyway. We wouldn't have it without his grace and without his gift. It should be a great honor for us to give it back to the Lord and to be used of him. Our love for Christ ought to be a sacrificing love. That's really what love is. It's sacrifice. It's giving. And let me ask you this question as we close. Do you love the Lord like this? Is it really real? Or is it all words? Ask the Lord to help you love him more, because we can always love him more. Amen? Let him consume your life so that you could say, for me to live is Christ. There is no life outside of him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to draw close to you, to learn to love you more. Father, to yield more and more to you each day. And I am certain when I say this that if this were the mindset and if we could live this consistently, a whole lot of problems that we face in life would just seem to disappear. They would go away, because we create problems for ourselves when we love ourselves too much. When we put things in front of the Lord. When our own thoughts and pleasures become more important than loving Christ. When we stop pursuing after you and the flesh has control, our mind gets out of whack and we get off track and off course. Father, I pray that we'd be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ. And Lord, I pray that the interest of God the interests of the Lord would be all-encompassing, all-consuming in our lives as well. Thank you for loving us this way. Where would we be without your love for us tonight? Lord, bless your people. Give them a good week, the second half. And again, we pray for those who are gone. Pray that you keep them safe. And Father, return them to us again. We'll look forward to being together in the Lord again on Sunday. We thank you for the time we've been able to share here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.